44. Trial's Fruit.
I discovered the most bizarre tactic in a fictional tale. In The Legacy of Asirum Tandir, a conjurer unleashed 4 Gangolans amid a battle. But she severed her bond to the beasts, allowing them to tear through friend and foe alike. Releasing the Gangolans freed her mind to conjure other creatures. I can only recommend this tactic if you follow the Tydactin Code, as your Gangolans could become lost forever.
From Colvinar Bryum's Bestiary for Conjurers, page 262. Now riding atop a cistern, Amandal hurried through the winding tunnel leading to the surface. Fench flew beside him, keeping pace with the conjuration. Patches of glowing crystal lined the tunnel, giving off just enough light to navigate by. Other passageways branched off the farther they went, but Amandal held his course. The codger had said it was the correct way, after all. During their ascent, Amandal secured the last convulsing survivor inside the Bezirm expanse. But he did not close the portal. "We're going to need supplies," he thought, and commanded the 3 earthen elementals to gather what provisions had not been destroyed, as well as Amandal's pack and Fench's belongings.
"Mother's helmet!"
Fench cried and began to turn back, but Amandal grabbed the creature's tiny arm and held tight.
"There's no time. My conjurations can get it."
Fench blinked several times before nodding and resuming his flight ahead. Once the conjurations gathered everything, they pulled a large piece of canvas from a broken tent. They bundled the supplies and belongings inside it, tied its end, and threw it into the portal.
Now the Tevis Rawls.
Amandal was not returning home empty-handed. Besides, perhaps something had been found that could save his friends. The conjurations turned from the portal as a flash of orange burst within the large cavern. Orange lightning arced up, curving toward the ledge. Orithisian appeared from a ball of light falling toward the ruined camp. He tumbled onto the frigid ground, recovered the flaming weapon, and charged.
"Grab the packs," Amandal commanded a conjuration, holding tight to his mount's white fur.
The others he willed toward Orithisian. They struggled to subdue their foe, and the monster turned man cut one to pieces. The other did not survive for long, soon shattered by a kick from Orithisian. How had he that much strength as a man? He had never seen anyone, even enhanced by magic, exude such strength, let alone shatter an earthen elemental. He redirected his focus to the last conjuration. It was only a 12 finials from the portal when it was thrust sideways. The conjuration hit the crystallized wall and dropped one of the packs. Before it could recover, Orithisian impaled the conjuration with his sword through its chest.
"You underestimate me, Amandal. I am no stranger to this form. As a man, many have fallen to me, and so will you."
He crushed the conjuration's head, severing Amandal's bond with it.
"I hope the surface is close." Amandal dismissed his portal and focused ahead.
They rounded the next bend, and the tunnel dimmed. The crystal patches eventually vanished, and Amandal's eyes struggled to adjust to the darkness.
"Can you see?" he asked Fench, slowing the cistern to a trot.
"Yes. Can't you?"
Sighing, Amandal closed his eyes and focused through the cistern. Though it was dark, Amandal could make out the tunnel walls with the conjuration's eyes.
"That's better," he said, spurring the cistern to a pace equal with a horse's canter.
He glanced over his shoulder, but there was no way to tell if Orithisian was near. The lack of light gave him an idea. He uttered an incantation, and the golden light lit the cave. He guided the magic to form a tiny portal near the tunnel's ceiling, and a Siracius Lepidor flittered from the mystical doorway. He made it hang from the tunnel's ceiling and uttered another incantation. Amandal repeated the process over and over, spacing the conjurations 36 finials apart. While uttering his 17th incantation, they rounded a bend, and the tunnel brightened. He cut the incantation short and opened his eyes. Faint sunlight reflected off the tunnel's gray walls.
We're almost there.
How can you tell?
Amandal raised an eyebrow at Finch.
That's right, he's never seen the sun. The tunnel turned once more, then straightened. A brilliant, clear blue sky lay beyond the tunnel's mouth. He whooped and uttered an incantation invoking the Tidactin code so that he could open a portal to both the Aldenol plane and the Vizirm expanse. The cistern bounded through the tunnel's opening and tumbled onto a steep slope covered in fresh snow. To Amandal's surprise, they were high up the mountainside, but how far he did not know. He continued uttering his incantation, but the cistern lost its footing. The beast fell forward, hurling Amandal from its back. He hit a layer of fresh powder and tumbled over his shoulder, rolling on his side. Finch fluttered overhead, squealing for Amandal. Struggling to maintain his incantation, Amandal rolled down the mountainside. He sensed the cistern nearing, and he redirected his focus to the conjuration. "Dig," he commanded, slamming the cistern's claws through the powder in hopes of grabbing packed snow. The conjuration hit him, completely interrupting the incantation. The magic faded as they tumbled together. The cistern's weight forced Amandal face first into the powder. He struggled to breathe, but continued rolling with the conjuration. All the while, Finch continued shouting after him. He was panicked, unsure how to help. "He can blast a hole," Amandal thought. "Finch, fire at the slope!" Snow flew into his mouth and jumbled his words.
"Ahead of me!"
"What's a slope?"
Amandal grumbled, then shouted once he rolled from the snow.
"Just aim at the—"
His face hit snow again.
"Ground ahead of me!"
Flashes of purple surged by, and Amandal tumbled past a large hole in the slope. What bad aim, he thought, and something rumbled beneath the snow. His face was forced into the slope again, but as he rolled over the cistern, he was abruptly separated from the conjuration. The jolt sent him into the air, and the cistern became lodged in the hole Finch had made. Amandal fell sideways and jerked at the waist before hitting the powder. He landed on his back and slid at an angle with his feet mostly pointed down.
"That's better."
He leaned to straighten himself. Now that he wasn't tumbling anymore, he gauged his speed. It felt slightly faster than a jog, but not quite a sprint. "Perhaps it's not as steep as I thought."
"You're free,"
Finch shouted, zipping beside Amandal.
"Now what?"
"We continue setting the trap," Amandal said, and took in his surroundings with a sweeping glance. They were quite high up the mountain. Snowy plains spread in each direction as far as he could see. To his right, a wide gorge cut through the icy lands. He fixed its location in his mind, then looked down the mountainside. The slope's bottom was at least 2, maybe even 3 grand finials away, leveling off at a plateau surrounded by rocky protrusions. Another slope continued beyond the plateau, but Amandal couldn't tell how far it descended nor what lay beyond it. He glanced back up the mountainside, but the cave was no longer visible. He reached out to the Siracius Lepidors, but Oreth Issian was not near any of them.
"I hope I have time," he thought. If not, he would have to find some cover.
He called to Finch, eased onto his hip, and reached into his pocket. With Shanak in hand, he reeled onto his back.
"Take it! Find a flat spot below!"
Rhythmic pounding echoed in Amandal's mind through his bond with the first Siracius Lepidor.
"Far below!" he pointed down the slope. "He's coming!"
Finch zipped away and Amandal began the incantation to summon a Gangolin. Golden light surged down the slope, gathering at the snowy plateau. The portal began to coalesce as Amandal sensed a blurred figure passing beneath his tiny conjuration. The portal grew at an incredible rate, forming before Amandal reached the slope and Oreth Issian escaped the tunnel. It rose 8 stories and was 2/3 that height wide.
"Hurry,"
he commanded. A towering reptilian silhouette nearly filled the golden doorway. Gleaming white talons emerged from the portal, heralding a beige, scaled claw sparsely covered in off-white hairs. The claw barely touched the frozen ground, and the off-white hairs stood on end while pain surged up the massive forelimb. "Hurry, damn it!" Amandal shouted, and willed the conjuration from the portal. It resisted, but he easily overpowered it. He had thought the struggle would be more intense as well as the stinging from the cold, but neither affected him as they should. As Amandal steadied the Gangolin's first claw, the snowpack around the colossal limb cracked. The slope shook, and a deep thud resonated up the mountainside. Behind Amandal, Orithisian darted past the last conjuration in the tunnel. A second claw emerged, followed by the Gangolin's massive serpentine muzzle. The Gangolin's snout was covered in the same beige scales as its claws. In contrast to the draconic reliefs Amandal had seen, and every other depiction of a dragon he was aware of, its snout was much wider. He supposed the Gangolin's snout was half as long as a dragon's and twice as wide. Its eyes were a light tan, with diamond-shaped pupils. Two white horns protruded from the Gangolin's skull, curving behind the creature's head and curling back toward its lower jaw. Glistening tines, the length of a man's leg, lined both horns and reflected the sun. Between the horns stood a maroon mane with hairs taller than a man. It ran down the Gangolin's emerging neck and continued down the conjuration's back. Its body was broad and muscular, with a torso as thick as four stories were tall. The slope shook again as the Gangolin lumbered from the portal. More deep thuds resonated within the mountain while the snow across the plateau broke apart under the Gangolin's immense weight. The slope also cracked, and a thunderous roar surrounded Amandal, drowning out every other noise. He began to slide much faster. Slabs of snow and ice heaved upward around him, while loose powder was thrown into the air. He felt the cistern come loose and tumble down the mountainside. It too was surrounded by an upheaval of snow.
"Finch better have found a spot."
The Gangolin's hind legs and stubby tail emerged, and Amandal shut the portal, swiftly uttering his teleporting incantation. He was almost finished when a burst of orange flashed from behind. Clouds of powder began to cover the sky, but they did not hide the orange lightning streaking overhead. The lightning exploded with a blinding burst more brilliant than any other time Orithisian had transformed. A wall of snow fell upon Amandal as the teleporting light engulfed him. Within a heartbeat, he found himself sitting upon solid ground. He fought back a wave of nausea while sensing the torrent of snow descending upon the Gangolin. It swept the conjuration off its feet as Amandal's vision returned. Far overhead, the enormous ball of orange light lessened, revealing the silhouette of Orithisian's new form. He now had an enormous, sinuous body held aloft by two gigantic beating wings. He stretched four legs wide while his tail whipped about. His neck reared back, pointing his thin but elegant snout skyward. Amandal blinked in disbelief.
"It can't be."
Orithisian unleashed an immense roar that shook the ground. The light around him vanished, and he dove toward the plain. He was covered in vibrant orange scales with an underbelly and wing membranes that were dull amber. The black horns behind his skull were made of a substance that seemed to absorb light. Each of the talons upon his feet and the tips of his wings looked the same as the horns. Three pointed fins protruded from his tail, each tipped with similar talons. And as with every other form he had taken, his entire right forefoot was missing. Shocked, Amandal struggled to stand.
A dragon? An actual dragon?
Was that really Orithisian's true nature? His debilitating gaze and his ability to change shape were both traits many legends attributed to dragons. Orithisian twirled before hitting the ground, redirecting his flight no more than 100 finials from the plain. He flew away from the mountain in a wide arc, his beating wings kicking up a trail of snow in his wake.
"Where are you, Amandal?"
Hearing his name dispelled his shock. Amandal hurried toward a large rock between him and the dragon, barely managing to take cover as a shadow veiled the ground. A gust of wind forced him to his knees while the rapid beating of wings roared overhead. Orithisian soared past, his winged shape stark against the blue sky. Amandal blinked and took in his surroundings. Ahead of him lay the Shannok atop a slanted rock. That rock was surrounded by rough boulders and icy mounds. The mountain towered to his right, partly obscured by the massive cloud of upended snow. Fench, however, was not around. Pain filled Amandal's mind, a debilitating hurt shared through the bond with the Gangolin. His conjuration tumbled down the mountainside within a dense cloud of snow and ice. He also felt the cistern beneath the torrential avalanche, but most of the beast's body had been broken. Amandal focused completely on the Gangolin and struggled to regain its footing. He managed to rear its head from the cloud. Orithisian soared over the gorge, approaching the mountain at an incredible speed.
"I see you've conjured me a plaything."
Orithisian flapped his wings and dove toward the mountain. The frigid torrent from his passage swept the Gangolin under, but Amandal felt a tremendous force strike the conjuration's side. The Gangolin tumbled from the avalanche as a five-taloned foot grabbed its neck. Orithisian appeared from the snowy cloud, his violet eyes glaring at the Gangolin with vehemence. Amandal willed the Gangolin to grab Orithisian's left forefoot, and together they tumbled across the mountainside. As their tussle disturbed more packed snow, Amandal moved back toward the slanted rock and watched in awe as the colossal creatures started more avalanches in their wake. He glanced to the rock and picked up the Shannok. "I should probably move you." Fench pressed himself against a large gray rock. It was a little cool to the touch, as was the white stuff his tail was coiled upon. Amandal had called it snow.
"Weird stuff."
Loud honking noises, deafening growls, and constant rumbles echoed from the mountain. Fench flinched, pressing harder against the rock. Though he was scared, he glanced toward the noises, but he couldn't see anything through the white clouds.
"So scary."
A white bird flew past Fench's hiding place, holding something round and black in its beak. He turned to follow it, and then a weighty sigh carried around the rock, followed by Amandal muttering, "But I suppose I'll sacrifice them if I have to." What did he mean? Curious, Fench slid his way around the rock while the two legs said those strange words to make his magic flow. Amandal stood upon slanted ground, golden light swirling from his hands and gathering atop the nearby snow. It formed an oval shape that stretched and pulled sideways and upwards. What had Amandal called it?
"Poor Tal,"
he whispered. He mouthed the strange word again, watching a streak of gray magic mingle with the golden light. It grew really big, and a huge two-legged shape appeared within it. One of those tall, white, furry things stepped right out of the light.
"Yeltisk,"
he muttered. It thumped loudly as it walked away, kicking up snow. A loud honk echoed from the mountain, this time closer than before. Fench blinked, watching another big two-legged shape appear in the light. Amandal said weird words so fast Fench couldn't understand them. A second surge of gray magic mixed with the portal. Green hands with six fingers tipped in black were the first things to leave the light. Fench squealed and reeled behind the rock, his trunk stiffening. More deafening roars and honking noises made Fench shudder. Amandal called for him, but Fench didn't answer. "Is that you, Fench?" He didn't reply, but stroked his trunk in hopes of soothing himself. All the while, Amandal continued repeating those strange words. Crunching noises mingled with footsteps, but Fench didn't dare look to see who they belonged to, at least not until his trunk was limp. Once calm, Fench peered back around the rock. Three of those cis-somethings Amandal had ridden stood beside the giant two-legged monsters. The big green one had loose skin on its stomach.
"Yucky,"
Fench shuddered. A fourth Sis-something lumbered from the portal while Amandel crept around the rock.
Ah, there you are, Finch.
The two legs smiled and held a hand out.
Come with me.
Reluctant, Finch fluttered over the rock and perched atop Amandel's shoulder.
I have something important for you to do, Amandel said, but first, let me free the rest of these conjurations.
Another honking noise filled the air, and Amandel turned toward the mountain. Seems I'll need more than one Gangolin. Though he did not relish the idea of losing his precious creatures, Amandel knew it was the only way to ensure victory. With their Aldenal copies trapped in Tardalim, there was no other alternative to conjuring them. The last of the Quintessals emerged from the portal, and Amandel shut the mystical doorway. He sensed the cistern upon the mountainside in a precarious situation, buried in snow and suffocating. The Gangolin was also in an unfortunate state. Orthisian had pummeled it repeatedly and had driven the conjuration toward the plain. He would rescue the cistern first. If he let it die, his bond with it would be severed, and then sending it back to the Aldenal plain would prove difficult. He mustered his magic, and it wove around the nearby rocks and up the various slopes. Orthisian would undoubtedly see the magic if Amandel arced it through the air, and that would give away his position. The Gangolin tumbled off a small rise in the foothills and rolled onto the plain. Orthisian took to flight, then rammed the conjuration.
Why isn't he using magic?
Dragons were supposed to be the masters of magic. Before he could think on it further, his portal began to form near the wounded cistern. The conjuration gasped, and Amandel felt a faint burning in his lungs from its bond. But unexpectedly, he didn't stagger from the pain. As he marveled, the portal formed. The burning vanished as the cistern was sucked through the portal. Orthisian rammed the Gangolin again, but Amandel willed the conjuration to grab the dragon's hind legs, and its weight made the dragon falter. They soon crashed into the foothills, and Orthisian retaliated with a flurry of blows that pushed the Gangolin back into the snowy plain. Amandel commanded the Gangolin to fight back while he uttered another incantation. A portal soon formed, and the other Yeltis emerged. With another incantation, the cistern he had just rescued stepped from the portal. The wolf-like creature was renewed, as the damage done to its copied body was erased upon returning to the Aldenal plain. Steadying himself on the rock, Amandel pointed to the Quintessals.
Finch, I want you to shoot them with your rod until they're glowing.
Finch blinked several times.
Won't it kill them?
Amandel shook his head.
What about the others?
Asked Finch.
Good point.
He willed the other conjurations to take defensive positions around him. The Yeltis flanked him, and the cistern surrounded them. There, he said, pointing once again to the Quintessals.
Now you don't have to worry. The Quintessals will absorb and store the magic.
While Finch fired at the enthralled creatures, Amandel opened another portal to conjure a Gangolin. The magic surged behind him, its golden light reflecting off the snow and rocks. Soon a massive off-white claw moved overhead. As with the first conjuration, the second Gangolin did not want to step onto the snow. Amandel willed it from the portal, and the creature begrudgingly complied. It was more stubborn about the snow than the first.
Just move.
The Gangolin soon emerged, stepping over Amandel and his small army, who all easily fit beneath the Gangolin's belly. The ground shook as it lumbered across the plain to the battle. Orthisian had knocked off many of the first Gangolin's scales, but he hadn't managed to crack any bones.
Let's see if two will be enough, Amandel muttered.
He sent the second Gangolin charging to the battle. The ground shook violently while thunderous rumbling echoed across the plain. The noises alerted Orthisian, and he spun from the conjuration.
So that's where you've been hiding.
The dragon kicked the Gangolin away and soared into the sky.
Pull back,
Amandel commanded, then urged the first Gangolin to hurry to him. Both Gangolins complied as Orthisian sped across the plain, a wall of snow trailing behind him. The dragon neared the protecting Gangolin, but abruptly flew skyward. He arced in a tight corkscrew pattern, then plummeted straight for Amandal and the enthralled creatures. Finch squealed and flew away. Amandal, however, held his ground, watching Orithisian descend while focusing his will through the nearby Gangolin.
"Time to die, beast caller!"
The Gangolin leapt overhead, tackling Orithisian. They tumbled across the rocky ground, demolishing boulders and mounds. Fountains of snow flew into the air, partly obscuring the colossal creatures. They rolled across the rocky ground toward the gorge. Amandal recalled Ildin's observations that the black layer had dispelled his magic. Would it do the same to the conjuration? Best not let it fall, he thought, and struggled to stop the tumbling. The first Gangolin charged past Amandal, shaking the ground. It soon neared the scuffle as both dragon and conjuration halted. They wrestled on the ground, and Amandal clawed at Orithisian while grabbing the dragon's maimed arm. The first Gangolin lunged, landing atop Orithisian. The conjuration's body pushed one of the wings toward the dragon's head, preventing it from flapping. Amandal wrapped the second Gangolin's arms around Orithisian's torso, but that didn't stop the dragon from moving. Orithisian reared back and smacked the conjuration with his tail. The movement jolted the Gangolin, grabbing his arm, but Amandal willed the conjuration to hold tight. "Two is not enough," he thought, and closed his eyes. "Hold him," he commanded. "Whatever you do, do not let go." The Gangolins howled as Amandal began the incantation to summon a third. He wondered if his concentration would wane, but despite all the creatures and conjurations he controlled, he barely felt any mental strain. Orithisian had nearly dragged his foes to the gorge's edge when the third Gangolin emerged. To Amandal's surprise, he could focus through all three Gangolins without too much strain. He sent the third Gangolin running, with the Kintishals and the Cisterns as escorts. The ground shook and the enthralled creatures stumbled. The third Gangolin neared the melee as Orithisian swung himself and the conjuration toward the gorge. Amandal dug both Gangolin's hind legs into the rocky ledge. They all stopped short of falling, but a talon of the Gangolin at the ledge hung over the precipice.
"It's futile, Amandal."
Orithisian leaned toward the gorge. Another talon slid off the edge and the ledge began to crack.
"Just give up."
The third Gangolin grabbed Orithisian's tail and pulled with all its might.
"You insolent Manthak!"
While Orithisian's tail was held, Amandal focused on grabbing the wing closest to the first Gangolin. They slowly pulled the dragon from the ledge, but Orithisian burst with orange light.
No!
He no longer felt the dragon through the conjurations, and the Gangolin at the ledge stumbled toward the gorge. Orange lightning surged past the advancing Kintishals and Cisterns, while the Gangolin at the ledge stumbled. The lightning struck the snowy plain half a grand finial from Amandal, and Orithisian's monstrous silhouette appeared within a ball of light. Orithisian, now that black monster, charged from the fading light while Amandal willed the two Gangolins to grab their falling sibling. But neither Gangolin was fast enough. The colossal beast fell into the gorge. Amandal blinked once, but swiftly uttered his teleporting incantation. His heart pounded as Orithisian neared, misting that orange haze. The dragon-turned-monster came within arm's reach as the golden light enveloped Amandal. That mist also surrounded him, and some of it seeped into the teleporting magic. The light faded, and Amandal gasped. Flecks of orange floated in front of him, gently falling to the rocky ground. He stepped back, bumping into a jagged rock wall. The gosset had dropped the anchoring tevis roll into a shallow crevice between the halves of a large rock about four grand finials up the mountainside. He was drawn back to the battle as he felt Orithisian attack both Yeltis and the troll. The maddening mist engulfed all three. Meanwhile, he sensed the Gangolin plummeting through the gorge. The colossal conjuration fell into abysmal blackness, then hit something hard and began to break apart. In less than a heartbeat, the Gangolin was reduced to nothing. When such a disintegrating blast struck a conjuration, Amandal should have been brought to his knees. Instead, he merely shuddered and commanded the Gangolins to attack while focusing on the three conjurations near Orithisian. The troll and both Yeltis succumbed to the mist. Orthisian impaled the troll with his tail while grabbing the nearest Yeltis. The monster ripped the tusk from the beast.
Faster!
He spurred the Gangolans, then aimed the Kintashal's hands at Orthisian. Amandel unleashed their stored magic while focusing on the other Yeltis. He willed it to attack, and though its response was not effortless, making it move was still easier than when the beast had succumbed to the mist and tortled him. The Yeltis threw a punch, but Orthisian deflected the furry wrist with one of his rear arms.
"It's pointless," Orthisian bellowed. "You cannot defeat a god."
The Yeltis swung again, and the violet beams struck Orthisian's back. Yelling, the monster spun and kicked the Yeltis away, only to face the two charging Gangolans. Amandel redirected his focus through his colossal conjurations. In his monstrous form, Orthisian was only half their size. "Now I can tear him apart," he thought, eyeing the monster's middle and rear arms. If he ripped them off, would Orthisian lack wings as a dragon? Orthisian reared onto his hind legs, partly surrounded by that orange mist. He barely reached the Gangolan's snouts. One Gangolan collided with Orthisian, knocking him into the rocks. The other rounded the tussle. That orange haze wisped up to the Gangolan's snout, but no terror accompanied it. The mist simply tingled the colossal creature's nostrils. "Well then," he thought, "weak against cold, but immune to insanity." He cackled while grabbing Orthisian's rearmost left arm, squeezing with all the Gangolan's might. The dragon-turned monster thrashed, but couldn't break free. With his foe subdued, Amandel raced the other Gangolan forward. It grabbed both of the middle and rear right arms and pulled. Both Gangolans reared back, lifting Orthisian into the air. Loud cracks and pops were accented by a bellowing scream and a resounding snap. Amandel felt the break along Orthisian's middle right forearm. The dragon-turned monster began to glow with that transforming light as his bent forearm was ripped from its elbow. Lightning zipped above the Gangolans, bursting high above them, but the severed arm remained in the Gangolan's grasp. Amandel tossed the limb aside as Orthisian transformed in the air. The winged silhouette was misshapen, missing part of the right wing while the left was bent awkwardly. The light faded and Orthisian tried flapping his wings, but he floundered in the air. He bellowed words Amandel did not understand, except one he had said before. "Menthok." The dragon managed to hold out his wings and glide in a circle over the snowy battlefield. "So that's the draconic tongue, huh?" Amandel took in a deep breath, glancing to the gosset resting beside him. "Go take that somewhere else." He pointed to the anchoring Tevisrol. The bird obeyed, and Amandel willed it to fly low. He looked back to the sky, watching Orthisian circle over the distant plains. The dragon shouted for Amandel, but he ignored the taunt. "Now where is Finch?" A disappointed sigh carried over his shoulder, and Amandel spun, snow crunching beneath him. The old codger sat on a squat boulder, his wrinkled face twisted in annoyance.
"You're pushing your luck, Amandel."
He narrowed his eyes at the codger and snorted. "I doubt I'll be able to fly after that. Even if I have to teleport a few more times, it won't matter. I'll rip him apart and then banish him forever." The codger raised an eyebrow.
"Your little corner of the Bezirm expanse is not as secure as you think."
Amandel turned and walked away. The old fool obviously didn't know the workings of that plane. Only a conjurer knew exactly where he placed his things or creatures. One would have to... He flinched and his eyes went wide. "Read one's mind."
"Yes," the codger said. "Do you think Orthisian is the only dragon on this world? If another searched your mind, it could release him."
The comment made Amandel reconsider his plan. But how else was he going to defeat Orthisian? And how would another dragon even know that Amandel had captured those powerful forces the codger had warned about? "Are they dragons?" he asked, glancing to the codger. "The forces you claimed are coming." The wrinkled lips twisted into an amused grin.
If you wish to survive, you need to fool Orathisian into thinking you've been killed. That is the only way you can escape this wasteland. And you must escape. There are more important things for you to accomplish than exacting revenge for Faelinia and your friends. Find Fench and depart quickly. They'll be here soon.
And then the codger vanished. The mention of Faelinia made his entire body tremble with fury. Amid his rage, he sensed Orthisian landing upon the snowy plain.
I'll make you pay dearly.
Even if those forces were coming, he still had two Gangolins left to conjure. They could tear Orathisian apart, and then he would hurl the pieces of the wretched dragon into the Bezirm expanse. Uttering an incantation to summon his next Gangolin, Amandal climbed out of the crevice. The portal soon formed over the rocky foothills, and Amandal sent his enthralled creatures charging. Another melee broke out between Orathisian and Amandal's forces. They soon subdued him, but the dragon transformed to free himself. He zipped between a Gangolin's legs and became his human self, but not for long.
That's clever, Amandal thought,
and the fourth Gangolin emerged. It hurried toward the battle as Orathisian returned to his draconic form. The melee continued and Fench popped up from a nearby rock.
I'm glad you weren't too far away, Amandal said. The scary two legs came back.
Fench's voice was shaky and his arms trembled. Amandal nodded but didn't speak until the portal formed.
I know. He told me to leave. But I have to avenge her first.
Fench fluttered toward Amandal and perched upon his shoulder. Before summoning the last Gangolin, Amandal focused on the gusset. If he found a secluded spot, a cavity in the gorge wall, or a deep cleft in the mountain, he could retreat there once all his creatures were conjured. And then I can send the gusset out again. He nodded. Even if that powerful force appeared before he could finish, none would find him. The fifth Gangolin stepped from the portal, and Amandal felt a weight in his mind, but not so much that he became overwhelmed.
Perhaps I can conjure all five after all.
He sat, crossed his legs, and closed his eyes. He repeated the incantation and the portal formed, but the Gangolin he had lost did not emerge. Perhaps the blackness wasn't a dispel. Orathisian transformed, streaking between the legs of the advancing Gangolin. Before Amandal could sense what form he had taken, Orathisian transformed again. Amandal willed his conjurations toward him as the dragon charged up the foothills. They stopped Orathisian less than a grand finial away, repulsing him across the mountainside. The bout knocked several scales from the dragon's neck.
Well, if I can't have all five, how about some gargantuans?
A portal to the Aldenal plain soon formed, but before the colossal conjuration emerged, the gusset passed a narrow ledge leading to a small cave. It was large enough for two men to fit inside.
In there, he commanded.
As the birds circled, a shimmering white line appeared over the far horizon on the other side of the mountain.
That can't be a cloud, Amandal thought, and willed the new elemental to the battle.
The gusset dropped the Shanak inside the cave, and Amandal willed the bird to fly back across the gorge. That shimmering line was growing wider every passing moment. It was as if a string of white metal was waving through the air.
You're running out of time,
the codger boomed in Amandal's mind.
They're coming.
Orathisian struck a blow that repulsed a Gangolin. His tail swatted a cistern, hurling it toward the gorge. The beast flew an incredible distance, landing near the ledge. Amandal tried stopping the cistern, but it kept rolling until it fell into abysmal blackness, and Amandal's bond to it vanished. The gusset circled again as the shimmering line grew. Its top oscillated, rising and falling, but in no distinct pattern. A Gangolin grabbed Orathisian's tail and another the maimed wing. They pulled while another grabbed Orathisian's horns. Orathisian transformed again, breaking free. All the while, Amandal circled the gusset once more. The shimmering white line became individual shapes, each glistening.
Dragons.
The thought of facing more dragons felt daunting. He was already struggling to kill one. How could he face, well, however many there were? Would they attack him as Orathisian had? And what would they do to him if they didn't? Terrible scenarios whirled through his head. He saw no way to salvage his conjurations and escape unharmed. Besides, the Yeltis he had released from the Bizirm expanse had gone mad from Orathisian's mist.
"Bring the fight to you," the codger urged, "and move closer to the gorge."
Orathisian returned to his draconic form as Amandal looked skyward. "Why?" Displeasure rumbled in his head. "You're so manipulative," Amandal thought. Fench flew from Amandal, zipping toward the gorge. Uttering another incantation, Amandal shook his head and ran after Fench. If he wanted to get Orathisian's attention, it would be with a portal. As he finished the incantation, golden light coalesced above the rocky foothills a few hundred finials from the gorge.
"Now to get there in time," Amandal thought.
He ran toward the magic, still watching the battle. Orathisian soon caught sight of the magic and transformed once again. He became a man, then a dragon, and galloped toward the forming portal.
"You can't hope to win."
Amandal rounded the portal as the new gargantuan emerged. Within a heartbeat, Orathisian darted past the portal, but the conjuration tackled the dragon, whirling him about. The blow sent Orathisian's tail whipping through the air toward Amandal. He sucked in his breath as one of Orathisian's tail fins struck him. The blow made him gasp, hurling him in a wide arc through the air. Fench fluttered after him, but Amandal plummeted to the gorge. The snowy plains disappeared and Amandal struggled for breath. He fell into the gorge, struggling to utter the teleporting incantation. Fench caught his hand and reared back, but his attempt to halt Amandal's fall was futile. Golden light surged around his hands as he fell into the blackness. No sooner had darkness consumed his vision than the teleporting light surged around him. He felt the magic surround Fench, then snap back to the crystal. As the magic faded, Amandal landed upon hard ground. He blinked, finding himself in the cave. He immediately dismissed the bond to all but one of the Gangolins. Through the last conjuration, he watched as the creatures roamed aimlessly across the mountainside, while the Gangolins succumbed to the cold.
"What's this?"
Orathisian bellowed with amusement.
"Did I kill you, Amandal?"
Ignoring the question, Amandal willed the Gangolin to mimic the others. Fench fluttered from his shoulder and picked up the Shanak.
"I'm sorry."
"For what?" Amandal asked, guiding the gosset to him. The bird flew inside the cave and opened its beak. "Put it in." He mustered a veil of invisibility as Fench dropped the Shanak into the gosset's mouth. The bird flew away and disappeared.
For breaking it," Fench said, and pointed out of the cave. "I was playing with them."
Amandal raised an eyebrow, but jolted as Orathisian cracked one of the Gangolin's horns. Fench coiled on the ground.
"You could have been home now if I hadn't broken it."
So Fench is responsible for pairing the Shanak and the Rogolin crystal. Drawing his lips to a line, Amandal knelt beside Fench.
"Perhaps it's for the best. If you hadn't bound the crystal, then this battle would be occurring at my home, and Orathisian has destroyed enough homes today."
He patted Fench's shoulder.
"You're not mad at me?"
Fench asked. Amandal shook his head. He focused through the gosset, which was already across the gorge.
"I have to find a safe place."
But there hadn't been much on the plains besides snowdrifts. He considered the mouth of the crystal cavern, but quickly dismissed it as unsafe. If these dragons were indeed intent on entering Tardalim, they would do so through those caverns.
Perhaps the conjurer was right. We should have left sooner.
The faint beating of many wings carried into the cave. Through the last conjuration, Amandal watched Orathisian repulse an earthen gargantuan. The conjuration tumbled down the foothills, and Amandal turned his last remaining Gangolin to look skyward. That line of dragons now stretched beyond either side of the towering mountain. Each was a glistening white. The noise of their wings reached the battlefield, and Orithisian spun toward the mountain.
"What is this?"
He backed away from the gargantuan while swatting a cistern with his tail.
"So,"
he growled at the oncoming horde,
"you're not extinct, as the humans supposed."
The dragons cleared the mountain peak and erupted in brilliant white flashes. Their transformation blinded the last conjuration. If they descended as lightning, Amandal couldn't tell. A resounding crash, louder than thunder, shook the foothills, followed by a shocked cry of anguish. Amandal thought he saw the silhouette of Orathisian tumbling backward. He forced the Gangolin to blink, and the light lessened. Orathisian had fallen. The orange dragon lay on the rocky foothills, his head tilted toward the Gangolin. The dragon must have rolled over because his head was upright. An armored man, clad in white form-fitting plates, drew a long, curved blade from Orathisian's forehead. He flicked the blade free of the dragon's blood, then brought it to his waist. To Amandal's surprise, the blade transformed, becoming a simple wooden rod hovering alongside the armor. Strange words, like incomplete incantations, roared across the foothills. Hundreds of armored men and women, each glowing with a wide array of colored lights, surrounded the roaming conjurations and creatures. "Those can't be incantations." He feigned confusion and jerked the Gangolin's head skyward. But the dragons were gone. Magic formed all across the foothills. Waves of blue light shot to Orathisian, completely enveloping him. Inverted Barjans, Amandal thought. Golden light shot into the sky, and portals formed parallel to the ground. Brilliant white tendrils shot from the portals, gripping each of the creatures and conjurations.
"Dismiss your bond,"
Amandal obeyed as the tendrils whisked the creatures and conjurations from the snowy ground. He shifted his focus to his gosset and turned the bird. He could barely see the enormous portals hanging in the air. Soon the vague shapes of gargantuans and gangolins rose in the air, then disappeared. Tiny figures fell from the portals, but were slowed from a fatal descent by gray light. Had those been the enthralled creatures? White bursts flashed across the mountainside, obscuring the gosset's vision. The light also washed into the cave, and Amandal shielded his eyes. Wings beat outside, and he blinked against the light. His gosset's vision was blurred, so he moved to the cave's mouth, but could not see the foothills where the battle had taken place. The beating of wings grew louder, and Amandal pulled back into the cave. Once his gosset's vision returned, he redirected it. The conjuration soon flew over a familiar valley between drifts. Amandal cocked the gosset's head, but didn't alter its course as he had before. A large cave mouth was housed in the snowdrift behind the bird. The entrance to the caverns, he thought, willing his gosset to continue flying. Sighing, he settled beside Finch. The winged creature clutched his rod to his chest while looking at the cave's floor. He sniffled, and a tear trickled down his trunk. "It'll be all right." Amandal caught the tear before it dripped to Finch's lips. "I'll make sure you're cared for." Finch leaned close, burying his trunk in Amandal's coat. "We'll make it home," Amandal said, wrapping his arm around Finch's wings. "And when we do, I'll have our chef serve every kind of cheese we own, just for you." Finch nodded and began to whimper. Amandal held the winged creature close and stroked the fins on the back of his head.
"Veer it to the right," the codger said.
Amandal complied without question. The codger had been right all along. But if Amandal had listened to every instruction, his friends would truly be gone.
This is a better outcome, he thought. At least now they have a chance.
More flashes burst outside the cave, followed by a tumultuous beating of wings. Amandal tightened his grip around Fench as dragon after dragon flew across the gorge at a tremendous speed. Had that been all of them?
Dive!
Amandal immediately sent the command to the gosset. The bird plummeted into the snow, but not before Amandal glimpsed a small opening within the snowdrift. Best they teleport inside it. He willed the gosset out of the snow and walked it to the opening. Hollowed, with packed snow and ice, the opening was large enough for a man to crawl through. A narrow bend led to a small grotto made of ice. It had no adjoining tunnels or passageways. If it was a den, it had been abandoned long ago.
Fench, hold on to me.
Amandal uttered the teleporting incantation and the golden light flowed from his hands. The magic soon enveloped the cave, whisking them from the lone mountain of Tardalim. The end of part 4.